everybody. It's Lena.
And Dahlia.
And Adam. Welcome to the Creekend.
Your favorite podcast in its final hours.
Oh my God.
Clinging to relevance. Much like this fucking show and episode.
Yeah, if you like listen to this episode back, I feel like you, or at least my experience of watching this episode of Dawson's Creek was that I had seen it many times before. Conversations were possibly directly just copied and pasted from season 3.
We do get a rehash. It was like a reunion episode of a reality show or something.
Except I love those.
Yeah, yeah, this was less interesting.
What's the real life equivalent
for us of this episode? Is it like sitting in 718 stone sober during like waking hours?
No, I've never done that.
Shut your mouth. God. Is that what it is for you?
It might be.
Oof.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Actually, I do have one announcement. I want to do a shout out to our patron, Nova.
Patron.
What's up?
Thank you so much for subscribing to that little corner of the internet where we don't ever post the things that we say we're going to post, but
fully intend to.
Yeah.
One of these
before
days.
Before we just like bury our sorrows in cheese.
We are getting around to it.
Maybe we should post the Creek and Live apps there, or are they posted there? Because I did have to do some digging to find them on the internet, on YouTube. So might as well like live on the Patreon.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like they were there at some point, but worth looking into.
We put them on YouTube or did someone else?
Frankie.
One of them is literally a recording of my phone.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's really shitty. But
it's the only documentation.
It is the only documentation of I forget which episode. And then the first Creek and Raw where you guys were in the same room is documented. And that's a nice piece of history.
Yeah. Maybe we'll rewatch it when we're doing our book tour on one of the stops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Absolutely. Dream big. Imagine this blows the fuck up though post Quar and we do a tour. No reaction from my fellow co-hosts.
No, I'm into this it. I'm down. Let's do the tour.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I feel like once we finish this podcast, nothing more can be said about Dawson's Creek. No offense to the podcasts that have started during our tenure, but
has anyone else finished it?
I don't think so. As far as I know, but you know what? This is incredibly arrogant of me to even say that. So, Vanderfreaks listen to other Dawson's Creek podcasts, I think, so they would know better than me if there's another one that's finished the series.
No, there definitely have been some that were ahead of us, but I don't know at some point. But I don't, I don't know if they finished. It is.
I mean, it's a bit of a journey to the fires of Mordor situation. It's really kind of hard.
It's actually really hard.
Tolkien famously said of that journey, "It's really kind of hard."
It's actually really hard, though.
Yeah.
There's this one called Dawson's Creek Critique.
Oh yes, yeah,
that
I think
been around.
I think that's newer though, isn't it? I don't know.
This, oh wait,
they have an episode every week, and it's February 24, 17, 20. These people are pretty consistent. They've been rocking it. Season 3, episode 21. Season 4, episode 8.
You remember how we were back during season 3? We were
back in the day,
young and full of life. And then you hit season 4, and it's like walking through Jell-O. I don't know.
It's no. It's not season 4. You're like, okay, I could do this. Season 5 is like, whoa.
I did not sign up for this.
No, this is actually changing my life for the worse.
My internal cellular structure is morphing, and I don't like where it's going. But this show is causing my metabolism to slow down.
I need more rest.
I need a lot more rest than I used to. I'm looking into sort of like a mild antidepressant.
They're pretty deep in it. I don't know. I think they might go the distance. They're on a weekly cadence. They're 4 seasons and 8 episodes in.
I hope so. I'm just saying that like I've never seen one that came before us finish it. As far as I know.
But please tell us if that is incorrect, Vanderfreaks.
I know. Yeah. People are just waiting in the wings to shut me the fuck up. So,
I mean, all the other ones I'm looking at are only on. None of them have crossed the season 4 threshold. Besides Dawson's Critique, there's like one in here that has 2 episodes, and they fucking
they were like, "I'm out."
Yeah, there's one with just a pilot, one that covers the pilot.
Oh man,
it's not for the faint of heart.
It's really not, and it's such a testament to the listeners, too, how amazing you all are, because, like, you guys know, speaking to Vanderfreaks, you guys know certain episodes are just, like, not good, and yet, you're watching, you're listening. Mm-hmm. Respect.
Yeah.
It is fun to see other podcasts spring up. I do feel there's been, like, a bit of a resurgence.
Oh wait. Oh, totally. Dawson Speak has done it.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Wait, is this the one we were just talking about?
No, that's a different one. Dawson Speak.
I don't know. It ended last year and then they did a couple bonus episodes.
All right. Very nice.
Did they live? Do we know?
That's impressive.
They haven't. They put an episode proving that they survived out on, like, after they completed it. So there's their series finale in March, and then they have one in August, a reunion where they talk about it 4 months later.
Oh my God.
And then they have one from January of this year. So they're still alive, hopefully. Shout out to them.
That's awesome.
We should maybe do, like, a 6-month check-in.
I definitely think we should do a check-in. I think we should do, I was thinking, you know, some kind of like recap of just like what this has been like is interesting to me. I don't know if anyone else cares, but
I think people, actually I was going to say, I think people may care. And then I was like, I actually don't know if that has any legitimate basis. But people I care about talking about that. I was wondering if we should like do that as part of the final episode or like
what? Yeah.
But
yeah, maybe that's a maybe that later. Maybe we like maybe we talk about the final episode, and then we kind of like do some recap stuff, but it's split into 2 episodes or something.
I don't know. But Vanderfreaks, if you have anything you want us to talk about or any way you want to see this go down, please let us know, because we are flying blind, as as we have been for the past 3 years. Let's get into it.
Let's dive in.
Okay. So we are at season 6, episode 21, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. What are they trying to do to me with this episode title?
So what song? Is this a Beatles reference?
This Elton is John. Sir Elton John.
Great song.
Either down with the society, hell.
Okay, okay. Rings a bell. I got you. I'm with you.
Sorry, just getting a chat here from our producer.
She's saying stop talking about Elton John because we're going to get DMCA'd and sued for billions of dollars.
I would go off about Elton John, so it's good that I'm just going to shut up. Shut up.
Great note for a podcast host. Shut up.
Okay. Just let it ride. We're going to actually just air this episode, and it's going to be 97 minutes of silence.
They're going to love it. They're going to eat it up. Okay.
Groundbreaking podcast app.
The episode description is, as Pacey struggles to tell Dawson about his costly investment debacle, Jen conspires to enlist her mom in helping Grams face her bout with cancer. Ooh. It's pretty bad everywhere you look.
Does Grams die before this show ends?
Hmm?
Does Grams die before this show ends?
I can't tell you.
I think that would... Yeah, that would qualify as a spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine we just tell you now. Like...
Oh my god.
So this is how it ends.
No. You put in the work. You deserve to get the...
I gotta earn this one. We're at the finish line. I just gotta take a few more steps.
Yeah. You have already earned it. You're almost there. And what a payoff it's gonna be.
Oh yeah. So worth it.
I can sense the sarcasm.
No. So what I'm gonna go ahead and do here is blast through Grams.
Makes sense.
And I think it's really saying something about this episode that the storyline of Grams telling her family about cancer is sort of where all the comedy happens. The other stuff is just a fucking slog.
That's a big yikes from me, team.
So we see Grams's brownstone, and we see a taxi rolling up, and who else could it be but the third Lindley woman, Jen's mom. And
you hate to see her.
Yeah, I forgot about her, and I don't really remember where they left off with her, but I didn't think it was good. I mean, I know.
Wasn't
that,
it the summer thing? Like, she was supposed to go stay with them for the summer? Or did that not happen?
But did she?
We alluded to her seeing Jackers over Thanksgiving dinner and her being, really drunk.
Okay.
So she says that somewhere while she's talking to Jack. And Jack is like, "You've met me? P.S. I'm gay."
Yeah.
When she confuses him for CJ.
Right.
Yeah, she's been absent, to say the least, and it's not exactly clear why she's there at first. We all know about Graham's cancer, so it's probably why she's there, but there's some awkward tension between her and Jen at first. She's like, "Did you get a haircut?" And Jen says yes. It's very awkward. Nobody is on good terms, or everyone's very comfortable with each other in this family, or I guess with Helen. And also in general, I feel like this episode is just about awkward conversations.
Yeah.
So Grams comes out, "Jennifer, did you see us at the door?" and she sees that it's Helen, her daughter, and she's quite disappointed.
I feel like she doesn't like... They have a very weird relationship, obviously. She doesn't seem to like her daughter.
No. Yeah.
not honestly,
even a little bit. She's like... When she rolls up, she's talking to Jen, and she's like, how dare you invite that woman to my house?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of love. Honestly, there's not even a lot of, like, emotions, it seems, around it. It's just like, oh, yeah, I don't like that bitch.
And yeah.
That bitch doesn't like me. But I guess now they're trying to make this reunion happen now that Grams is sick. And we find out that Jen didn't actually tell her mom about Grams being sick. She's lured her there under false pretenses and is waiting for Grams to actually make that reveal. And then there's a quick scene where Jen and Jack go grocery shopping, and we like get this news casually dropped that CJ is going to grad school in New York. Been brought up before, I don't think, but now it's like, oh yeah, duh, he's going. It's
like, that was super random. What is he even going to grad school for? He's a senior. There's just like so much stuff where I was just like, wait, I know. I think it really made me realize that I know nothing about him.
Yes, he's. Guy who works at Helpline. That's like literally all we know about him.
Randomly, the Andy the Talking Hedgehog link just came through the chat again. I don't
know. It's haunting you. So the next thing we see is the three generations of Linley women trying to have tea, and Jen trying to like steer the conversation towards cancer, and Grams.
Why are they having tea?
Grams loves tea.
Grams loves tea. Tea is supposed to be healing. I feel like Jen's just trying to like create opportunities for Grams to drop this bomb, and Grams is just deflecting every opportunity. And then Jen is like, oh, I'm just going to excuse myself, leave you two alone. And then Grams and Helen have this weird conversation about how, like, Jen used to be such a slut when she was a child in New York. Now she, like, is an adult, but she seems even more childish. I don't know. There's some really, like, Helen is just a questionable.
Really weird.
She has a questionable grasp on, like, familial relationships, I guess. But then she also drops a bomb. she also drops a bomb of like, oh, but if you ever needed me, I'd always be there for you, mother. I don't know. I'm just very confused about their relationship. And it never really gets cleared up.
You know that, I think it's an SNL episode or something, but there's like a meme of Steve... I think his last name is Buscemi, right? The guy who's always acting in the Adam Sandler movies.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like wearing an outfit that makes him look like that you think a high schooler would wear, and he's got like a skateboard and he's walking around saying, hello, fellow children.
Yeah.
This is what I feel like Helen is doing, but for her family members. She's like, hello, family members. Or like, hello, blood relatives.
I think
or hello like people that I share genes with.
It makes me think, well, two things. One, I think that is from 30 Rock. He like goes undercover. He's like a detective.
That's correct.
And he goes undercover as a teenager. It's very funny.
That's correct.
It makes me think that like the backstory on these two is that Grams, and this kind of tracks with Grams's character arc in the show, is that Grams used to be much, much stricter and colder. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of why they have this very cordial, like cold relationship. And basically through her relationship with Jen, she's been able to kind of like open up to that very nurturing side of herself. So that, I guess, that's being really generous to them, but I feel like that tracks.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't really explain just like the general weirdness. I mean, you'd think that these people had like a major falling out, which like Jen kind of did, like... but she seems to be over it because she went to therapy in season 5, 4.
Oh yeah. World's best therapist.
World's most amazing therapist.
God, I forget his name. That was such a long time
ago. It was
ago.
Like, yeah, it was.
Peter, something like that. I don't know. So then they have this really awkward dinner that Jen prepares. And it's when Helen meets... Well, she meets CJ for the first time and she thinks she's meeting Jack for the first time. Although, as Adam mentioned, he reminds her that he met her drunk ass at Thanksgiving that one time. and she like keeps thinking that Jack is Jen's boyfriend. And she's basically just like, well, you're both so hot. I didn't know which one of you was fucking my daughter.
Like, she's hitting on both of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she's also like, I don't know what gay people look like, and which was
like normal people.
Yeah, which was quite a comment, and I don't know, which is crazy.
She's
like, I do think she saw two like ripped, beautiful guys, and she was like, maybe they're both gay. I, you know,
roll the dice.
My yeah. daughter has got a good thing going. I mean, honestly, credit to Jen. Both are, like, fine specimens.
And yeah. Yeah.
She really put in that hag work.
She did.
Which we'll get to, because that comes up.
Is that but, still a thing that people say?
I
hag
do.
Work?
Hag. Hag work is a thing I made up right now.
I feel like hag is still, yeah, I feel like hag is still possibly out there. It's definitely a favorite among these two. And I just want to like touch briefly on the very weird reaction that Jen has to this, where like her mom says that and then Jack's like, well, I basically am her boyfriend. And Jen's like, no, you're not my boyfriend because we don't have sex. Like in front of everyone.
Didn't they like try to have sex once?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this, wow, we're doing like a nostalgia thing.
Ooh, nostalgia tour.
We're doing a throwback. But, and then CJ's like, is that the only difference between us? And I don't know. It's just like incredibly yep. awkward. Yeah. Jen's basically like, yeah, shut up. Like, stop. It's very uncomfortable. And I feel like we're nearing the end of the CJ train.
Are we though?
Who can say?
Okay. So just when you thought this dinner couldn't get more awkward, Uncle fucking Bill crashes the party.
No,
and Bill.
He is billier than ever. He's like, oh, listen up, people. I got some business with this skirt, and she's not going to die till I tell her I love her. Like,
yeah.
I think that for some reason, I held back in previous episodes, but he has, for me, he's a Joe Biden vibe.
Literally in my notes.
like,
I mean, he says malarkey.
For some reason, I felt bad about saying that. Okay, there you go. That, yeah. I was just like an old man with a kind of some attitude.
Of the word malarkey.
You know, that's a great question. I want to, I don't know. I have a thought, but I don't want to say it and be wrong.
Say it.
I was thinking that like maybe it's like an Irish word, but I don't know. Like an Irish word that got Americanized. But let's see. I'm looking. of Google says of unknown origins.
World. I'm trying to think of like a whiter word.
That's why.
You can't. Like, you can't.
I think it's Irish. this random ass website has a few different ideas.
It is an Irish surname.
There we go.
It is, but they haven't been able to say why it would then come to represent like this totally different meaning.
That guy was fucking crazy. And ancestor of Joe Biden, actually.
Oh, okay. That's why that makes sense.
Okay.
There we go. Thanks.
And Uncle Bill knows that. Has Joe Biden done anything
good lately?
Ooh, tough question. I haven't gotten my stimmy, so no.
I also haven't paid attention, so it's like he probably hasn't fucked anything up too bad. So shout out to Joey. Oh, never mind.
The bar is low.
He could be doing better. I'll put it that way.
Oh no! Be doing better. I just got a push notification from worse. Google News.
What did they say?
It's not good.
Oh it's shit! A little sad. Is it about Joe Biden?
No.
Okay.
No,
he died. No.
James Vanderbeek's 4-year-old daughter rushed to ER after injury.
Wait, you just got breaking news about James Vanderbeek?
That's correct.
That's crazy.
I should not be laughing, but that's really scary to me.
It's very funny that I'm receiving breaking news about James Vanderbeek.
So we just...
which I think what we're laughing about. It's not funny what the content right. is.
We yes. just but. Broke Dawson's Creek news on this podcast.
We gotta publish it ASAP.
Gotta yeah, post it. So. Gotta post it. I hope that his order. Daughter's okay.
Same.
Yeah.
Do you have a Google alert for James Vanderbeek or something? That's really random.
Apparently.
Okay.
They just like think that I'm interested in it. I don't. I like.
I wonder why they would think.
Yeah. I must Google it in a non. I Google most things in incognito windows because I don't like for the internet to understand what I want.
Yeah.
To know about.
I'm wondering yeah, but... if.
Your name will forever be associated.
I didn't think about the gravity of the decisions I made when using my real name on this podcast.
Oh yeah, I have something that I want to. We'll talk about offline. I want to update something.
Okay. Anyway, Uncle Bill storms in and he basically spills the beans to everybody at this dinner party that Grams has cancer. And also he drops that he loves her.
Yeah. That was wild.
I think he says, like, you have cancer because you're not actively having sex with me, right? That's kind of the vibe I got.
Basically. I mean, he basically says, like, you are so uptight that you've given yourself cancer, which was pretty fucked up to say.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Uncle Bill never changes. You know, he's always been this guy, and he's always gonna be this guy, and
he's gonna be Bill till he dies.
Hopefully, that's already happened.
Damn. So... Oh, no. That I didn't say it.
Oops. We all thought it though.
Sometimes you have to just go there. So not everybody knows, and. I feel like, I don't know how, but the conversation quickly steers to, can we all just move to New York together?
Yes, it really does.
And she really... Because
they can all just, like...
Apparently, Jen's mom has an insanely massive apartment right next to what I assume is, like, Sloan Kettering or some very prestigious hospital. And she... Jen... publicly pressures her mom to let this happen, to allow like 5 people to move into her house that she doesn't
fucking
even
know. Ridiculous.
That was a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, this will happen. Right, Helen? And she basically says, okay, let's do it. And then I think the final scene with these people are Jen and Jack just like sitting on the couch afterwards and talking about it. And Jack's like, yo, I can't believe you didn't tell me. Like, when were you going to tell me? And Grams comes in and she's like, don't you two make me cry tonight. And I kind of miss these three. I feel like they're a good little, they got up to some antics.
They could have had
good unit.
They could have had a nice spinoff.
That would have been great.
I think that would have been good. In New York?
Just raging in New York?
Raging. Yeah. Obviously, you know, some of the, it would be kind of heavy because Grams would be dealing with cancer, but,
but yeah. Then she'd recover. Now you've got Grams doing karaoke.
She beats it and, yeah.
She beats it.
And she runs into the three of us.
Oh.
Out okay. At a drag bar.
Okay.
Ooh.
Grams does poppers.
Yes.
That's, and you don't sweat the small stuff after the big C, as they say. So
oh, I thought you were going to say after you do poppers.
She's just out here doing psychedelics in the clubs.
Gramps. she's doing poppers at the club, dancing to Rain on Me. This is like a post
Rain.
Yes.
I'd rather be trifled than I stay alive. That's Gramps singing Rain on Me. So they are like, yo, Jack, did you think we're gonna leave you? No, you gotta come with us. There's plenty of room for you. And Jen's like, I'm gonna be your hag for life. And I think that Jack does really owe it to himself to like move up a level in his like gay scene. Cause the Boston scene is not really anything compared to New York.
Dead.
So Jack has graduated from that, which is his actual life. He doesn't give a shit about school, but he will be ruling the scene. And that's pretty much it.
I can't deal with how casually they are just like, yeah, we'll just transfer universities.
I know. What year are they?
I think they're sophomores.
I don't know.
That's it? God.
I think they're like finishing their sophomore.
It feels like it's been 4 fucking years.
It does feel like that, but I think they are sophomores. So, yeah, it's astonishing. They're like, "Oh, we'll just go to NYU." Like, I don't think it works like that, but okay. I mean, especially like Jack, you know, was basically failing out of school the whole time.
What school was Jack going to? Was it also Worthington?
Boston Bay.
Boston Bay.
Love that.
We really do need to get those t-shirts.
I absolutely love how they acknowledge that Boston Bay is a shitty school.
I know. I mean, it's absolutely nothing compared to Worthington.
Exactly. Wait till you hear Joey go absolutely off.
I don't want to, but that's where we are. We actually have to bring it back to the top go through this. So I'll just do the rest of these schmucks all together.
Let's go.
We see.
You don't sound happy.
I'm happy.
Very convinced. Dawson walks out his front door and he finds Pacey standing out there, obviously coming over to midnight service Gale. But oh, hey, Dawson. Dawson brings Pacey up to his bedroom, which he has reverted to its teen years. Like, Dawson basically put all his old shit back up on the walls and everyone's so impressed.
Wow.
You've recreated your 14-year-old self's room. Unbelievable. You're so talented.
Everyone is like moved to tears, and I am not. And I think it only wasn't like this for like 6 months.
That's true.
And
he had his little moody black and white photography phase.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. You actually, you know what I did not notice was the framed photo of Steven Spielberg. Where's that one? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it.
Fap drawer.
The fap drawer.
I don't want to know. Bed. I don't want to fucking know. Oh, they didn't do a single shot.
What's in Dawson's fap drawer? Kawa.
That's going to be Kawa.
It'd probably just be Creek Days and...
Oh, God.
Just scripts the real.
That he wrote himself. It's scripts.
That's not good. That's bad. Okay, so... I noticed Dawson saying, "You're the first person to see this."
Oh boy!
So yeah,
he's showing the fap drawer.
Uh-huh. He's going off. He's like, "Yo, bro, I'm so happy we got all the Stepatec money. I got 3 credit cards in the mail, and I max them out in a single day."
Stepabucks.
Stepabucks.
Stepabucks, bruh. Stepabucks.
No one is over Stepatec. No one.
Also, is Dawson a fucking idiot? He didn't think to like check in on Stepatec ever.
He doesn't look at it with a fucking moron.
Oh my God. I can't imagine. Dumb. Can you really max out credit cards and use them to invest in the stock market? Can you do that?
I hope not.
No, that's not what he did.
I've never thought of it.
Wait, that's actually a great idea, but he just used it to buy like film equipment relics from his past.
Okay,
because he's really good at money.
Great at money, Dawson. Yes, Leary.
Absolutely. And he's like, "Oh, by the way, why are you here, Pacey?" And Pacey's like, "Oh, just saying, hey." He can't do it. He can't break the news. Especially when Dawson tells him that he's going to be an associate producer.
Uh-oh.
Because that makes a lot of fucking sense. So then we cut to a quick scene of Joey and Audrey saying goodbye in their dorm that they've had for 2 years, which seems to be the standard length of time for a dorm at Worthington.
Mm.
I don't know. Jack Osborne is there, and he's sniffing Joey's shorts.
And Joey's just like, "Come on, Jack!" Like, not like horrified and traumatized.
No. It's totally normal. Yeah. Also, I feel like it's Joey's just like. They paint her as the type who would be totally unfazed by celebrity of any kind. Like, she's so right. Down to earth.
Right.
Kill me. So this is when Audrey says that Jack's here to, like, scope out Worthington to see whether or not it's, like, a good fit for him. And Joey loses her goddamn mind at the idea that anybody would not want to go to this fine institution.
I don't get that. I mean, I understand being mad because he's rich and he has a lot of options, but also, like, she made a choice about whether or not Worthington was right for her, so I don't know. It was just like, shut up.
Yeah, just shut up, Joe. Okay. So, they have this goodbye. Audrey gives her the parting gift of her nasty ass pink fuzzy like pillow with armrests, which I feel like is very a common dorm room item. That's that I've seen.
Such a dorm item. Yeah.
Just throw in a mini fridge and you are in college.
Oh God.
And Joey's response is like, "You know what? I think you're the first girl I've ever been friends with."
This is such an iconic I was thinking about it and I was like, oh my God, that's so sad. But I realized like this is kind of an iconic phase. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself, but I feel like there is a kind of girl who, you know, she went from a guy's girl to a girl's girl.
What a transition.
It's an important transition to realize, oh, you know, it's actually cool to be friends with girls, other girls.
It is an important transition because without it, she remains like totally under the spell of these two fucking assholes.
Exactly.
Like, so this is giving me hope at this moment that she's going to change the narrative. For fucking once?
Yeah. I think she's ready to change the narrative.
I think so.
She seems ready in theory, but then when you get faced with the narrative, you know, it can be very easy to slip back into old patterns.
She does have to hit rock bottom before she can change.
Mm.
So what exactly does Joey's rock bottom in the Dawson Pacey Joey triangle look like? I feel like I'm right there.
Okay.
I feel like it just looks like Dawson and her in bed together.
Oh.
Which she has hit.
It's dark. I don't like that visual and I don't want to ever go back there.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but we've all seen it.
We famously didn't, though. I feel like their sex scene was like Joey's shoulder being exposed and then like a snow globe.
Oh God, yeah. And the music.
Yeah, that was, which is basically like gratuitous porn for Joey Potter.
Well, as we'll find out, she's very uncomfortable talking about sex. She always has been.
Oh God.
Never would have guessed.
Never.
I don't need her to be comfortable about it. Like,
I might be more uncomfortable with her comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortability? I don't know. But remember when she said, am I sexual?
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Who did she say that to?
Dawson?
Oh, Daisy? No.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's really awful.
All the options are bad, I guess.
They're all bad.
When you start asking questions, it's when the rewatch comes through.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to do that.
Adam is shaking.
Uh-oh. Call a medic. Okay. So Joey goes back to Capeside. Nothing good could come of this. She's back at her house. She's looking out on the creek. She seems kind of happy. Turns around to go inside. There's a little package waiting for her.
Oh, no.
Somehow it knew she was coming.
It. Yeah. It.
It's the bush footage.
He's actually in the bush filming. Yeah. Discovered.
This is actually going to be integrated into the end of his film.
Yeah, it's so not finished. Need
this. Yeah.
Oh, I'm disgusted. Like behind the scenes, like inspiration notes with the director.
Yes.
Everyone just seems like okay with, like, there was that moment in one of his first attempts at writing the story, Joey had resistance about like her life being used as in a movie. And now everyone's just on board. They're like, we know he's gonna do this shit. And there's nothing we
no
should
way to
do.
Avoid it.
So she opens it up. It is the untitled Dawson Leary script, written by Dawson Leary, directed by Dawson Leary, produced by Dawson Leary, starred Dawson Leary.
Does it actually say that?
No, but he gives himself like at least 3 credits.
It would be so funny if it actually said that, though.
Mm. And she's somehow shocked, and that I'll never understand. But she decides to take it to the source. She goes to Dawson's house and she sees the ladder there, and Dawson creepily comes up behind her And
no,
he just says, go ahead.
It was so creepy. He's like, go up the ladder. What will you find?
Ew.
And Joey's like, I'm into it. Yeah, I'm going to do this.
I was worried for her. I was like, that shit looks dangerous.
It looks very dangerous, and physically and emotionally.
I feel like Mitch, when Mitch set up the ladder, he like, you know, reinforced it or something. He didn't just like throw a ladder up.
Dawson just like throws a rope. Like couldn't find that joy. Make it work. Right. Go with it. Just go with it. He's filming this too.
God.
Just a note that Joey's two-tone hair is really severe in this episode.
Oh, God.
It's at the point where it's like dark brown natural hair up until her ears. And then once it hits the ears, it's like fried red.
I can't believe I mean, God, she's on a TV show, but it looks like she's growing out a bad dye job. Like, what are they doing? Just take responsibility.
I mean, put a wig on her or something. Seriously. Like, it didn't need to be this way.
God. But then again, this show is actually known for doing really fucked up things with hair. So
that's true. They were like, final season, we're finally gonna fuck up Joey's hair.
Yeah.
She's gotten by by not really having
she has
much drama in the hair department.
Yeah.
Not now. So Dawson creeps up again behind her, and they're in the bedroom, and she is stunned. She's amazed. She says, your eye for detail is creepy.
It is.
I agree.
Yeah, she's right. She's right. And he says, now that you're here, it's just about right.
Ooh, that's unsettling.
My skin is crawling.
I mean, I think Ollie and I both have been just like really into true crime lately, and it feels like someone's gonna get murdered. I'm not gonna lie.
I immediately thought like bars come down on the windows, like just yeah.
Fuck. It's a panic room that she's locked into.
Did you watch what was that creepy movie with the jigsaw guy?
Saw. I never saw it. I'm scared.
I did. It was awful. I think I saw one, maybe.
Dawson would make a good Saw serial killer. They made like 30 of those movies.
Yeah, they did. Awful.
I don't want to see Saw. I don't like...
I feel like the original one was good. And I want to watch it now.
It was good. Jesus.
I'm scared.
Not remembering that.
Let's just glaze past this.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm dwelling in this like space that I don't want to dwell in.
Sorry. Picking it back up. There's there. Let's just get away from that whole idea. We're at a bar.
Yeah.
And quick little interaction between Pacey and Audrey. Audrey and Jack run into Pacey at the bar, and she's just kind of like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You don't day drink at a bar. That's not you. Don't even try. Just get your shit together and get out of here. I'm pretty sure some like Seal is playing in the background.
Ooh.
Audrey is like setting him straight.
Like Kiss from a Rose?
It's not that, but it just sounds like Seal, and it's very like breathy and powerful.
shout out to Seal. We miss you.
We know you're listening.
Yeah.
Love it. Maybe that'll be my return karaoke song.
Oh, that's a great one.
Wow.
That's a great powerful. One.
I need to remember that.
I want to steal that.
No. Okay.
I won't. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Don't worry about it.
I know, but you've done that before, so just don't.
Oh, have I?
Whoa.
Oh, have Whoa. You?
I don't remember that.
Oh, but I know. I know.
What song?
Let's not get into it. So.
Oh, okay.
No,
I didn't.
No,
okay.
I'm just playing.
Or is she?
I mean, it did happen, but I'm not mad about it. So Joey and Dawson, this conversation is bad. They are in his room still, and they talk about how they like haven't been talking for a while and how crazy that is. And but Joey's also kind of like, yeah, I thought it was gonna be really hard, but it turns out I just didn't think about you in my life. Like, really cool things happened.
Yeah.
And he's like not hearing that. He's his response to that is just like, yeah, but you're here now. So it's really toxic. She says something along the lines of, you were my only one night stand. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
Damn.
He, like, that just ricochets off of his desire.
I mean,
not hearing it.
It makes sense to me. Because, I mean, this may be bold, but I'm going to go ahead and say that Dawson is not Joey's type.
Not at all.
Okay. I didn't know if that was, like, controversial, but, like, when you really think about it.
I mean, it's no secret to anybody listening to this podcast that we believe Dawson has been brainwashing Joey since she was a child, and she, whenever she has like independent thought or like attraction, it doesn't look anything like Dawson.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there a word for this called grooming? Is that what grooming is?
Well, he's the same age as her, so it's not like, I don't think it's that.
Not grooming is more like predatory, like statutory kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's definitely creepy, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of like psychosexual attachment.
Got it. It's probably like a fucking official name for this. Maybe they just call it Dawson syndrome or something.
I mean, he's been like doing all sorts of weird manipulative stuff with her. And I also think, I mean, not to defend him at all, but I do think that she probably, I'm sure that she liked him at some point. I think that nostalgia is probably very strong for her. So she's like, well, we were this way, so shouldn't it like still feel that way? But obviously, as she gets older and like starts to delve more into her issues, it's very clear that like she's way more into someone who's like emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely her thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if Dawson is that.
He's like super available.
He's pretty available. And I think when he's available, she becomes detached. She don't like it. So
I'm gonna call him Speed Dial from now on.
Wow. Ooh,
that's cool.
You just gotta press one fucking button and he's there.
He is there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Pop a 911.
My biggest enemy is me. Pop a 911. Okay, so this was a really difficult conversation to get through. I'm glad we made it to the other side. She does somehow come away saying, I missed us. That's like her final thought in that conversation. Mm.
And then they're holding hands, and I threw up, literally.
Damn, they held hands? I blocked that out.
They were like holding hands, and Dawson was like rubbing hers fondly. And they were like, we miss us.
Ew. Okay. Oof.
Yeah. Sorry. Just, I don't feel
and
good.
I feel like the only way you can soundtrack that is with like Smash Mouth.
Which one?
I don't know any like other than like the classic one, but like some like
I'm
hilariously bad love song by Smash Mouth.
Oh, I was thinking Walking on the Sun, which was their other big hit. Might as well be walking on the sun.
Oh yeah, I know that one.
It ain't no joke. I think that's might as well be Walking on the Sun.
I like want to play the song, but I also don't want to destroy my like recommendations.
Oh, come on.
We need to stop. We need to stop making recommender services. We're done.
We do, but it's literally like the only reason that, you know.
Anything
is anything, yeah.
I don't want to be a part of that.
It's like, honestly, well, you can't escape it. It's why YouTube is like, watch this video about like a toad that was rescued and brought back, and like now it's best friends with this rabbit, like on my fucking YouTube. I'm just like, damn, you got me.
Now I know what you're doing after this.
Yeah, for sure.
Toad vids.
Eating some raisins, watching toad vids.
That is actually very much my life, and I'm not happy about it, but that's kind of where I am mentally.
it's the world we live in. Mm-hmm. So this conversation actually lasted like all day, apparently, because when Joey and Dawson walk out of his house, it is nighttime, and Pacey's there. He's like, "God damn it! I'm just trying to come through for Gale. Y'all keep blowing up my spot." And then we get the clash, which Pacey's like, "Okay, this is gonna be a really good time to drop the step bomb." And he's like, "Joey, why don't you stay? Okay,
you know what?
You don't want to hear this.
Why don't you just
stay? We can recreate some real golden memories right now. Yeah. If you just stand right there.
Let's just do the triangle thing because we know it's going to come to this anyway.
Yo, Joey, triangle now.
Yeah.
They've got it's like fucking football. They've got a play call for it.
Oh my god.
They know. They know when when the signal comes, what to do. So he's like, "You know what, Dawson? The money's gone, bro. Okay? Money's gone. It's just gone." And
flew too close to the sun and we got burned.
Oh shit.
Might as well be walking on the sun.
Dawson's response is, "I knew you would do this."
Okay, Charlotte. Yeah, just when you thought Dawson could have like a non-explosive reaction to somebody like after this Joey conversation, he lights it up. He is just like happy to just drop right back into the triangle bullshit. And you know, Pacey's like, "Listen, I thought Stepatech was gonna take off. I swear, like, I'm sorry." And I mean, what is there to say? It's just a replay of every one of their fights they've ever had.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I thought it was very funny. I just want to draw everyone's attention back to the beginning of the episode where Dawson was like kissing Pacey's ass and giving him an associate producer credit to 12 hours later where he's like eviscerating him for being a terrible person, and he's like, "You know what? This began when you betrayed me."
Oof. What was the betrayal? Was it just kissing
liking
Joey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. But why don't they name it for what it is? Like Joey's standing right there.
Yeah, it's very odd that she's not involved in it at all. I mean, I'm not surprised that he's just like this between, you know. Like, "Oh, Joey didn't do anything." It's like,
"It's between two men."
Yeah, no.
Oh my God. Joey's like,
and
trying.
Joey's like, "Guys, stop it."
I know. She like tries to mediate. She's like, "Hey, let's just go inside. Okay, let's get calm. Let's drink tea, guys."
I fucking, it's so disgusting, this whole scene.
I'm like, fuck tea.
Have you watched Ted Lasso?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh my god.
I don't know what that is.
Is it good?
So I can't take credit for this, but someone described it to me as the anti-2020.
Okay. Everything good happens?
It is like heartwarming, and you just like watch it, and there'll be a scene about tea that you'll be like, I get it.
Okay. Okay. I love tea. So
whoa, hot take.
If y'all are haters, then I don't know what to say.
I like tea.
Okay, you guys are weird.
I'm gonna go ahead and say I love tea.
Just watch Ted Lasso. Okay. It is like, it's on Apple TV Plus. It'll cost you $5 for a month, and it'll be the best $5 you spent the entire year, I guarantee it.
Apple TV
mm-hmm. is the It's the one I don't got.
Same.
Yeah. I have it because they gave it to me for free for buying a phone like a year and a half ago, and they keep renewing it for free. I'm just like, okay.
I actually might still be able to get a free one because I got a thing too, a phone.
Yeah.
Wait, I want a phone and an Apple Plus.
Well, I don't have the thingy. They it works on Chromecast, on the new Chromecast.
Okay.
But you can also just watch it on your laptop, I think. I don't know if you need a MacBook to watch it.
Jesus.
I have a MacBook. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
It's sorry. This completely derailed the conversation, but it's worth every penny.
Okay.
Ted Lasso was the best thing I've watched in a year.
Oh my God. Okay. It's big recommendation.
I mean, Lena just saw Point Break for the first time like last week, so. And that's.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh my God, Adam.
Adam.
I was like you.
We talk about this like every 6 months. It's like, how have you not
seen
Point Break?
Because it's like my favorite movie, but I guess I keep forgetting that you haven't seen it. It's a wonderful film. I hope that you'll watch it soon.
Okay.
If you watch Ted Lasso, I will watch it.
Okay.
I mean. Let me just say, I was like you, I had never seen Point Break until this weekend, and my life has changed.
Okay? Wow. Okay, that's high praise.
And I'll just say one thing, vaya con Dios.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yes.
Donnie Utah. Oh my God. Okay. So, back to this trash convo. There's some really great lines like, we need to remember to keep this about money. And Pacey's like, I was good at my job, I swear. And Dawson's like, then why am I broke?
That's a valid, honestly, that's the only valid thing you said.
That was valid. Yeah. I definitely understand being very, very upset. And immediately bringing in Joey was a bit too much for me.
It's
so petty.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Pacey's like, then there's weird bullshit about how like we've never been friends. So,
well,
like,
I do think that they should reflect on that, because the truth is they really haven't been friends for several years now. And maybe they're just really, in the same way that Dawson and Joey are kind of like clinging to this their old selves and trying to like keep that going, I feel like Pacey and Dawson are really trying to like cling to something that is long gone. Obviously,
well, they kind of acknowledged it in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know why they're salty about it.
I don't know. I think they're just like, I don't know.
How much
one
money?
One's like, you fucked me over. And the other one's like, no, you fucked me over.
And Joey's like, I don't care. Like, why?
Joey's like, I fucked both of you.
I fucked both of you. None of us are dating now. Like, what the hell?
I want like that, like, I want Joey to do that commentary on the whole fight. And
yeah. Based on the transitive laws of banging, you've banged each other.
They are Eskimo bros.
The transitive law of banging. I forgot about that.
Yes.
TLB.
Mm-hmm. Very important. Powerful stuff. Very important law.
Mm-hmm.
It rules us all.
Mm-hmm. Who came up with that one? Was that Einstein?
Socrates.
Oh.
Socrates. Okay.
Good stuff. He knew his shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. King.
He got around.
King. I will not. I will not. Okay. So.
You got me with that one.
Honestly, we need to do like a king post for Dawson's Creek.
There are no kings. I mean, except Mitch.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, just something.
There are some queens. To it.
There are some queens.
Jack.
Yes, of course.
Jack. And that's about it, though.
Yeah. Maybe Gail.
Oh, Gail's a queen. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
God, Mitch and Gail, king and queen.
Mm-hmm.
Rip. So the fight ends, or Dawson goes inside, Pacey goes out to the dock, and Joey goes to sit with Pacey. And she basically is just like, you know, he tries to give her all the bullshit of like, you don't even care about me. And she's like, I'm sitting right here, you asshole. Like, I care. Accept it. Stop trying to push me away. Blah, blah, blah. And he's not satisfied. It seems, again, that nothing will satisfy him unless except being with Joey. Or he's still salty about the fact that she dumped him for Eddie like 2 weeks ago. Which honestly was like so shady of her, but
it was extremely shady.
She's a moron.
It was super shady.
You know, she's.
She got what she deserved, though. He immediately like ditched her.
That's true. That is true. So they're hashing out more of their shit, and the final scene is Audrey at open mic night, maybe at Hell's Kitchen, and she does this acoustic song.
Why is she hanging out at bars so much?
You don't know. You don't know.
I don't know. Fun fact, I actually spent about a half hour earlier today learning this song on guitar. Because wow. I wanted to know if she was actually playing it. Like in the, because I could see her hand moving and I was like, I wonder if that's, she was vaguely playing it. She wasn't playing like all of it, but she was doing some of it. So I just was like, I need to know.
Shout out to Audrey.
Yeah. Shout out to Audrey for knowing some guitar. Amazing stuff. What song is it?
I don't know. I just listened to the song a million times until I could figure out how to play it. But I believe it's called Way Beyond Empty.
Oh.
But I don't know if it's like, I thought it was supposed to be a song that she wrote.
It sounded like an attempt at an original music.
It did.
Situation. Way Beyond Empty. Something like that.
Inside. Yeah. I like a busy music moment. I like her voice a lot, so I was like, yeah, we can do this.
I can do it. Is it like the last time we see her, I'm wondering?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It feels like it, but I don't remember. Yeah.
Well, it's a great outro. We basically get everybody crying except for the Lindleys who are eating cookies. But Joey, awesome. You know, Pacey's sulking, Dawson is watching, and Joey is crying. And I think she just needs to officially move out of Capeside. Like, don't go back there during
the need to, like, erase Capeside from her memory. We need a Men in Black Capeside right out of her.
Oh, memory. My God.
Yeah.
Okay, Vanderfreaks, if you have the technology, please get in contact with us. And that's the ep.
Wow.
Whew. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Katwa, what's in Dawson's fap drawer?
Photos of Joey.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bush footage of Joey.
Mm-hmm.
A framed photo of, what was that guy?
Steven Spielberg?
No.
Arthur Brooks.
The other one. Arthur Brooks.
Ah! Wow. Okay.
And
lots of range here.
Yeah, I don't know what else he would have in there. Maybe a photo of himself?
Classic.
Some, like, locks of hair from years past.
Ew. Okay, this is getting creepy.
I feel like he's got just, like, spools of film, like, taken out of the VHS. Like, the ribbon.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a pile of ribbon. VHS.
Okay. He, like... You know how, never mind, I can't even.
I need to hear what you're thinking, because yep. I think I know what you're thinking. Yep.
I was thinking, like, the film canisters.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you could put them together and yep. create a sort of tube.
Not where I was going, okay, but
what
interesting.
Were you thinking?
I was thinking it was just a pile of film that he had ejaculated onto.
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, sure.
I was thinking of the canisters also, but more as, like, receptacles.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So there was a lot of ejaculation going on in our heads.
I was imagining, like, you know how you can put a bunch of beer cans together? Don't they call it, like, a wizard stick or something? Am I making that up?
It's a staff.
Staff, sorry. Wizard staff. So it's like that, but with film canisters. I'm also thinking, like, there's probably a couple gen picks in there for when he wants to switch it up.
Yeah, I feel like there's, like,
Eve.
One of Eve's thongs in
there. Ew! No, that's super nasty. That's super nasty.
Or, like,
that's so gross.
Yeah, something of hers, definitely.
Well, Vanderfreak's
way. Oh, this
in.
Is all disturbing.
Yeah, it's all really disturbing. Sorry. Didn't...
Yeah, no, don't peek in that drawer. Okay, that stuff's private.
Yeah,
you're not gonna like what you find.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, Vanderfreak's way in. Please tell us what you think is in Dawson's fop drawer. It's really important stuff. We need to really be talking about this.
And don't send me your messages. Send them to Alia or Lena.
Or at the Creek End. I'll just make that the official.
That's sort of our public account. So if you want to send them there.
Or as Alia liked to challenge the Vanderfreaks, you can try to DM her. If you find her, but she's private.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of community we have here. okay, Vanderfreaks. Next week we'll be in the top three episodes.
Holy shit. Left.
I cannot believe it. Thank you so much for listening. Creek and out.
Creek and out.